Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living's dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill. There's no time to kill.
Welcome to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Inside Tennessee is sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council, an educational organization dedicated to restoring constitutionally limited government and the Judeo-Christian values that made our country great. And I'm proud to announce we are also sponsored by the Tennessee Republican Assembly, a socially, moral, and physically conservative group of individuals committed to upholding the traditional Republican ideas that represent the American founders' original intent. We believe in God, family, and country. We support policies that expand the rights, liberties, and responsibilities of the individuals and reduce the size and spending of government. We believe in principles over politics. So we're proud to have them on board as a sponsor. We will talk to the president of the TRA here in a few minutes. That's Sharon Ford. The phone number to call in and join the conversation is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. And the TAC website is tn4action.com. That's tn4action.com. So thank you for joining us tonight on our first Tuesday night. Have a good show lined up for you. We've got, as I said, Sharon Ford from the Tennessee Republican Assembly. She'll talk a little bit about her organization. And I like to say that they are the only rhino-free Republican organization in Tennessee. So we'll talk with her a little bit. Then a little later on, we're going to talk with Lisa Moore from Rutherford County. She was very involved with the textbook issue a few months back, and she's involved with the ACT chapter of Rutherford County, and she's running for the school board there. So she would be a great one to have on the school board there in Rutherford County. We'll talk to her about that race and probably a few other things going on. And then a little later on, Jason Henry is from Wilson County, and he's running for a seat on the county commission there. So we've got some good guests lined up. We're going to talk about a few things. And obviously, if you've got something that you want to talk about, give us a call, 718-305-7176. Love to hear from you. Keep it clean, of course. All right, a few things that might be of interest to those of us that live in Tennessee. Of course, this affects everybody, but if you're in Tennessee, we've really fought back on Common Core this year, as have many other states, and just a little information here. Surprise, surprise, Pearson wins the park contract. They're going to have the contract for the Common Core testing. And Pearson, we already have a lot of issues with their school books, with what they have in their textbooks, and now they're involved with Common Core, they've been involved with Common Core, and now they're going to be the park contract. They've won the contract. So Pearson and Common Core, pretty much one and the same, I guess you could say. And something else about Pearson, let's scroll down here a little bit. Let's see, the Libyan company is now involved with Pearson. I imagine they probably have been for a while. Libyan Investment Authority acquired 3.01% of Financial Times owner Pearson Publishing at $324 million. So a Libyan investment firm is involved with Pearson. Now, I've heard some things in the past that there was already some Islamist influence in Pearson, and I don't doubt it a bit. If you've read some of the textbooks, matter of fact, we have Lisa on here in a little while. She can probably enlighten us on that a little bit, that with the Pearson's involvement with the textbook issue. And one of the problems we had with the textbooks was the Islamic slant, the pro-Islamic slant in those textbooks. They would put way more information in a social studies textbook about Islam, and they would paint it in the best light possible, and next to nothing about Christianity and the Judeo values of our country. So Christian Judeo values of our country. So you already have an issue going on, and now we have those same people who are going to be involved with writing the test for the Common Core. So it is a mess. Also, if you live in Tennessee, and I live close to Dover, Tennessee, if you keep up with things, you might know that there is a compound out there, and we commonly refer to it as a terrorist compound because there's an Islamic village out there. MOA village is what it's known as, Muslims of America, also known as Jamaat al-Fukra. And there's about 20-some of them across the country. The numbers vary but from what you hear. But they sued a couple of people. They sued a guy named Martin Meyer and Patty Pursuit for statements made in their book about the MOA titled Twilight in America. Now, the judge dismissed the lawsuit as baseless last week, but some things came out. During the depositions, it was revealed that they had property in Alaska as well, and they have additional property in New York, California, and Michigan. Now, I live not that far away from the compound here in Dover, in Stewart County, and the people around here, some of them have enough sense to be concerned. Others just don't seem to get it. You know, they may even live close to them, and they're like, well, you know, I've never had any problems with them. They're friendly enough, and, you know, they just have a different religion. But those people have not bothered to do their due diligence on that. It is not just a religion. It's certainly not just another religion. It is a political and military institution as well. It is a way of life in everything and everything they do. And unfortunately, you know, it's not just a religion they practice that doesn't impact anybody else. I want you to think about something for a minute. You always hear about the moderate Muslims. Well, first off, they're not making a whole lot of noise out there. I don't know if any such thing as moderate Islam exists. There's certainly no true moderate Islam, because any Muslim will tell you that the perfect example of Islam, that the perfect example would have been Muhammad. Well, if Muhammad is the perfect example, let's see. He's a pedophile, married a little girl who was 6 years old and consummated at 9. He killed thousands, probably hundreds of thousands, so I'm not sure on the numbers, but rape, kill, murder, steal, you can do anything. You can do anything as long as you are further in Islam. So I don't know how anybody thinks a religion founded by a murdering, raping pedophile could be moderate. I mean, why would anybody want to follow a murdering, raping pedophile? I mean, that's just sick. Yet we're supposed to believe somehow that, oh, you know, they're you can trust them, they're good people. Well, obviously, they don't know much about their founder. The ones that are supposedly good, they have to be pretty much ignorant of their founder. Now, you can say, well, look at Christians, and they've done some terrible things, and that's true. But there's a huge difference here. With Christianity, you have to ignore, you know, and basically disregard the example set by Christ. Whereas you can rape, kill, murder, do anything to further the cause of Islam, and that's okay. And oh, by the way, the only way you can guarantee that you get to paradise in the next life as a Muslim is to die in jihad. That's the only way you can die, to die as a martyr. That's the only way. There's no other way. So the moderate Muslims probably need to explain exactly how that religion could even be considered moderate. So it's scary, though. We've got them here. As you know, our state is pretty gullible on this issue. Our governor is gullible. Our Department of Homeland Security head, Bill Gibbons, is very gullible on this issue. But we need to make we need to dig into this a little bit more and start pushing. Matter of fact, they mentioned, so I can find the guy's name in this article here. Let's see, MOA, the deputy director of MOA, Hussein Adams, is the son of terrorist Barry Adams. During question, he was unable to provide evidence which would indicate a lack of reasonable basis for the defendant's claims. Basically, he could not disprove their claims. Now, obviously that doesn't make him guilty, but he had filed a lawsuit against them, and he couldn't prove that what they were saying was not true, so it was not, you know, his lawsuit was thrown out. They weren't maligning him. They weren't, it wasn't liable because he couldn't disprove anything. So they denied assertions that they're a terrorist organization. They refused to provide basic information regarding their group and their activities. They contended that the group kept no records, with Director Adams asserting that he did not know the names of those on the town council at their flagship location, Islamabad, which is up in Hancock, New York. The identity of the person entrusted to issue checks to pay the organization's bills was also unknown. Now, the guy is saying that he doesn't know who pays their bills. How can you not know who pays your bills? MOA is an umbrella organization operating 22, and I've heard different numbers. I've heard 30, but this one says 22 Islamic villages nationwide, including Mahmoudburg in Sweeney, Texas. It mentions a village here, Islamville in Dover. There's one in Ontario, Canada, one outside of Commerce, Georgia, Red House, Virginia. So we need to probably dig into this guy a little bit more, because bottom line is, they're all connected. They're all tied together, these MOA compounds that are all across the country. And like I say, we've got one here in Dover, Tennessee. And it really seems to me like after 9/11, people would be paying more attention to this organization. Let's scroll down here a little bit. It mentions some an FBI report from 2007 stated that the MOA possesses an infrastructure capable of planning and mounting terrorist campaigns overseas and within the U.S., and extols membership to pursue a policy of jihad or holy war against individual groups it considers enemies of Islam, which includes the U.S. government. Yet, some people will tell you, oh, they're just different. They're peaceful. We don't have to worry about them. So obviously, we've got some people that are not living in the real world. America is still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is a reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedoms away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalowski, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time, and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Opalowski, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Call in if you have a question, comment, or if you have a topic you want to discuss. We've got a few minutes before our first guest calls in. Was reading earlier today, and I saw, and I'd seen this before, and you may have seen it as well, where through our State Department, we are actually building mosques throughout the world. Tax dollars, U.S. tax dollars, are going to build mosques around the world. Now, can you imagine if we were building churches around the world? Oh, the ACLU would be in fits. The Democrat, well, actually, I mean, it would never happen. It would never happen. Obviously, the president wouldn't do that, being the pro-Muslim that he is. The Senate wouldn't do it. And, you know, the House, obviously, and I'm not suggesting that's something that we should do, but we certainly should not be building mosques around the world. I mean, that's just insane. We are helping promote those with the ideology that they want to destroy us. They want to destroy us and anybody and everybody that won't go along with what they want. And the thought that U.S. tax dollars could be going to building mosques in foreign countries ought to make every American sick. I mentioned this a little bit last week, and, you know, we're getting closer, and I'm going to probably pound on this some over the next few weeks. But, you know, this is just another example of the betrayal, especially of our military. I mean, for everybody and every family, and I've got some personal experience in this, unfortunately, that have lost family members fighting for this country any period of time, but especially in the last 10, 12 years since 9/11, we've sent people off to fight and die for this country, and we're promoting that same ideology with our tax dollars. That is just insane and sick. And it ought to disgust everybody. It ought to disgust every American, and it's got to stop. It does look like we're going to have some Benghazi hearings. I was surprised to see that John Boehner actually appointed – I was surprised to see that he even appointed a committee. Then I was really surprised, happily surprised, to see that he appointed Trey Gowdy. So we will see how that goes. You know, I certainly don't think Trey Gowdy will back down, and I think he will be a bulldog on this. And I'm glad to hear it's coming about, and hopefully we'll get some answers. Anyway, it's time to take a short break, and when we come back from the break, hopefully we'll have Sharon Ford with us, and she can tell us a little more about the Tennessee Republican Assembly. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this short break.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we have Sharon Ford on the line with us. She is the president of the TRA, and she's going to tell us a little more about that organization. Sharon, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thank you, Dave, for having me on.
Glad to have you. And I'll let you fill in the blanks a little more on the TRAs.
Well, your opening tonight was great because one of the things that we were going to talk about was the fact that the local Muslim community has called on the GOP to denounce the Tennessee Republican Assembly. So we rather wear that as a badge of honor. And just in case people are concerned and don't know about the TRA and they hear the word Republican, Michael Sullivan, who is the state party's deputy executive director, stated in the Tennessean recently that that the TRA is not affiliated with the Tennessee GOP, and we are not viewed as one of their auxiliary organizations. And I thought that was interesting, given that we've been distancing ourselves from the GOP for lo these many years. But he also went on to say that the GOP has an active outreach to the Muslim community. So for those of you who are not aware that the GOP has left you, you need to listen up.
Yeah, not only they've left you, they've betrayed you even more than what you imagined.
Yes. A little bit about the Tennessee Republican Assembly for those of your listeners that may have not heard about us. It actually started back in the 30s and came out of California, and a group that referred to themselves as the Young Turks were fighting the elitist within the Republican Party in California. And, of course, the phrase rhino, I guess, hadn't been developed then. And that's where the TRA came out of. It's a national organization. I think we're in 24 states. We just recently, last week, in fact, started a chapter in Alaska. So now we have a chapter in Alaska and in Hawaii. We just got to fill in the blanks in between.
Great. And you know, I think I know several people in the TRA, and I have to say, there's not – it is really a rhino-free entity, and the people there are conservative and constitutionally minded, and they stick by their guns on that.
Well, we do. We are not about growing numbers for the sake of numbers. Reagan said that a political party cannot be all things to all people. It must represent certain fundamental beliefs. And for those of you who don't believe, then let them go their own way. And so we're not about growing numbers for the sake of numbers. We're about standing strong on our principles. And one of our taglines is principles over politics. This mentality that anybody can slap an R after their name and we're supposed to vote for them and support them is absurd, and that does not happen within the TRA.
Now, you mentioned that the state GOP is actually has an outreach to the Muslims. I mean, and I know they stated that. I don't know who's in charge of it, but I guess I shouldn't be that surprised, but still disgusted.
Well, I think the difference between the GOP and the TRA is when the Tennessean reached out to me, I had enough sense to keep my mouth shut. But the reason that they were attacking us is, as you know, we every year we do one big event. And last year we did, we had Senator Rand Paul as our keynote speaker, and we had 500 people in attendance. It was absolutely an amazing day. And the amazing thing about it is I never put the tickets for sale to the public, so we were therefore able to control who attended. And so only liberty-minded people were able to attend. And it was pretty awesome. And this year we had another event. It was much smaller, but it had a different focus. It was much less political and more about survival and what's coming our way through economic warfare. And Frank Gaffney originally was going to be one of our speakers, so the local Muslim community came after us pretty hot and heavy about it.
And the state GOP, of course, didn't hesitate to bring out the fact, and it's obviously true that you're not affiliated, but, you know, I think, like you say, you wore that with a badge of honor, and you ought to. And what do we have? We have the state GOP reaching out to the people whose ideology is responsible for 9/11 and whose ideology we send our people all the way over there to fight, yet they're promoting it back here. Like I say, that's the ultimate betrayal, and I think that's one of the things that does keep me fired up and motivated is, you know, that just really, really gets under my skin, to say the least.
Well, I think what it does, Dave, is it shows the complete disconnect within the state GOP from the majority of those of us who are out here living our lives every day or trying to, if we can get the government out of our lives enough. I mean, look at who they're having for their keynote speaker for their statesman's dinner, if you could use that term, and that's Chris Christie. I mean, how obtuse can you be?
Yes, and
that was rhetorical,
I won't say that.
But
I was going to say something else. It's close to obtuse, but I'll leave that one off. Anyway, now, elections are coming up this year, and is the TRA, I know you guys are normally back some candidates. Are any of them you want to talk about, or do you want to talk about the elections a little bit, the primaries?
Well, we have several members that are running, but it would not be appropriate for me to speak to it just yet because next month we're having our endorsing convention. And the one thing that we're doing this year that is different than what we did 2 years ago, because it was the first time that the TRA had done a full-fledged endorsing convention, we did a serious 25-question vetting questionnaire that went out, and there were no smiley faces in it. It was it really got to the heart of the matter. And out of that, I think we endorsed 18 people statewide, and 16 of them won. And
great.
This year, anyone that is running that is an incumbent, and as opposed to doing a vetting questionnaire, we're going to actually look at their voting record because their actions will tell us more about what they believe than what their words will. And then we'll also be doing the vetting questionnaire for first-time people that are running for office.
Yeah. Now, when do you think you'll be through with your vetting?
We are going to be doing our vetting, our endorsing convention is going to be June the 14th.
Okay. So it'll be all, you'll pretty much know by then.
Yes.
At the end of that session? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Of course, yeah, because you got to
figure
it out pretty quick.
Unfortunately, we had a lot of people that were on the wrong side of some serious issues this year that we'll have a lot less people to vet this time.
Hmm. You know, I've been surprised because Tennessee is such a conservative state as far as a lot of the people. But when you're talking about the Tennessee GOP, I mean, it's Rhino heavy. I mean, really, when you're talking about what's in the House and what's in the Senate, there's really a minority that are staunch conservatives that will stand on principle every time, or even
if
the majority.
I agree. I mean, if we had just a handful more of Senator Mae Beavers, people that are willing to never sacrifice their principles and always stand for what the Constitution says, we would not be in the mess that we're in today. I mean, what an amazing woman. She's not perfect by any means. None of us are, but she's someone that I totally look up to and admire and respect. In fact, just recently we made a $1,000 donation to her reelection campaign, as well as to Judd Matheny's.
Money well spent. Those are probably the top two for each, you know, top for the Senate and top for the House in terms of reliable, consistent, Constitution-minded, you know, conservatives that are fighting the fight. And, oh, by the way, the leadership hates them, and the leadership does everything they can to undermine them. So they're not just making a stand. They're taking fire, too, and they're taking fire from the top.
Absolutely. It's just appalling to see what's the kind of fights that are going on, especially with Senator Beavers. But I think we're gonna see some changes in this after this next election. I think we're gonna have a couple of top leaders that may not be returning, and will help get some support for May and for Judd.
Yeah.
Before I have to go, I would just like to say that the TRA meets every second Saturday. We meet from 9 to 10:30. And we meet in Nashville. We're in the process of starting several more chapters across the state. But if anybody has any questions, go to our website, www.tnra.org. That's tnra.org. And there is a place on there where you can send questions and get more info. And would love to see a lot of people show up for our meetings.
Okay. Well, hey, we just had a caller pop up. Have no idea who it is. You want to take a call? You got time to maybe take a question or comment before you go? Okay.
Yep.
Let's see. Caller, you have a question or comment?
Hi, Dave. It's Lisa. I'm just waiting for my turn.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't recognize your number.
You're good.
All right. Well, Sharon, I
well,
appreciate
Dave, thank
you
for doing this show. It's great, and I just have the utmost respect for you, and I appreciate all that you do.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you as well. And I'm glad to have you on, and we'll have you come back sometime. And I'm glad to have you sponsor our show.
Okay, thanks so much. Bye bye.
All right, take care. Just when you think you've heard everything, those leftists in D.C. pull something else. They're going to keep on doing it until we the people run them out of town on a rail. But what about in the meantime? What are you going to do to protect your family, your property, and your sacred rights as an American when the left-wingers try to redistribute food or who knows what else in the name of social justice? Don't wait for the left to turn your world upside down. Get ready now. Make sure you can provide for your family in an emergency by going to the Patriot Depot, America's best-known warehouse for all your patriotic gear and survival needs. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. You'll find everything from the emergency food supplies to the patriotic gear you'll need today and in the future. That's Patriot Depot at conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. We're up against a hard break. Don't go away. We'll be right back on Inside Tennessee. On the other side, we will have Lisa Moore from Rutherford County.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN4Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN4Action.com to stand for America now.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend. You were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No. Not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we have Lisa Moore from Rutherford County on the line with us. And Lisa, as I mentioned earlier, she's been involved with the Rutherford County Act chapter. She was heavily involved in the textbook issue, and she did not have enough. She found a little white space on her plate and decided to run for school board. How you doing tonight, Lisa?
Hey, Dave. I'm doing great. I hope you're well.
Doing fine, doing fine.
Thank
appreciate
you,
you coming on.
Me.
Glad to have you. Glad to have you. Now you're running for school board. Like I said, you've been pretty involved with the school stuff already, especially with the textbooks. And I don't know if you heard, but I surprise, surprise, Pearson got the contract for the park testing for Common Core.
Yeah, that was a big shock.
Before we talk about your school race, since you're so involved in this and know this subject really well, can you talk a little bit about Pearson and Park?
Well, I mean, I think, and I know you mentioned it, brought it up at the beginning of the show, but, you know, if you go back, and a lot of people have, you know, tracing and following the money with Pearson and their involvement at so many levels with the park testing and everything else, it's, you know, it seems to be turning into somewhat of a monopoly. And it's especially concerning when you've got a monopoly like that that's controlling the textbook world and now controlling or trying to control the testing of our kids out there in the schools. And as you know from things that we've been through before and that we found in delving into all these textbooks, as well as stockholders in the Pearson Corporation and the fact that they have a headquarters office in Dubai, that there is a lot of Arabic money behind that organization. So, yeah, there's an awful lot of red flags flying around.
Did you say the headquarters for Pearson was in Dubai?
They have a headquarters, an office in Dubai, yes, they do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's,
and, of course, this recent stock purchase, and, I mean, it's, you know, it's not really difficult if you dig enough. I mean, you know, with a publicly traded company or even a private company, you can find it if you want to look hard enough. And it's the evidence in the textbooks, just the theme that we found with all of the Islamic indoctrination and the really, quite frankly, bias and prejudice against that you find in there throughout the books against Christianity itself, and
yeah,
as well as all of the political issues that come up in there that, you know, you read through these textbooks, and of course I'm preaching to the choir and we've talked about this before, but you read through those textbooks and you will sit back and think this has been written by a socialist or a communist. And that is indeed how they read, and this is where they're starting. I mean, they're indoctrinating our children, Dave, and we've got to stop it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Now, did the teachers, Rutherford County, I know that was one of the areas where the whole Common Core and the whole textbook thing was really a big issue. I mean, it was a statewide issue, but that was, I guess, maybe one of the places where, well, probably because you were there, and I think there's a few other people on that textbook committee that were out of Rutherford County, weren't there?
Right, yeah, absolutely. It really really, I think, if you will, kind of got started here. A couple of years ago, actually, or about a year and a half ago, when my son, who was in the sixth grade at that time, brought home his social studies textbook, and, you know, I almost dropped my teeth and looking through it and decided to delve a little deeper and take it to the school board, and the rest is kind of history as far as where we've been going for the past year and a half. And unfortunately, as you know, it's wound up falling on a lot of deaf ears, and there are a lot of people out there, both at the state level and at the local level, that apparently aren't concerned enough about it that they're willing to step out and do something about it, and it's sad. It's sad.
So, and I'm assuming then that's why you're one of the reasons you're running for school board.
Absolutely. Well, the school board here, and I have to tell you, Dave, we've got Rutherford County has one of the best school systems in the state. There's no doubt about it. And our leaders here have, I think, overall, over the years, done a good job in developing the schools and developing the reputation. But there are so many things that are facing being held over the heads of these school board members and the officials here. And I think so many of them are just simply intimidated by it, quite frankly, to the point where, you know, it's the whole political correctness thing. They're afraid to take one wrong step, so they don't take one at all. Or, you know, they take the easy road or the most popular road and not the hard ones. And we need people at that level who are willing to step out and take the hard road and say, no, this is not right, and we have to take a stand to stop it. And sadly enough, with all these textbook issues, that person has not come out of our Rutherford County School Board. And so, yes, we feel like there's some changes that are definitely needed.
And so what kind of, I know it's early on, but what kind of response have you got about your running for school board? Got a lot of support?
Yeah, I do. And it's been very, very encouraging and pretty overwhelming, actually, the support that I'm seeing coming out of, you know, friends and acquaintances and people that I've known here in town over the years, and even people that I haven't seen in a while stepping out or contacting me on Facebook and saying, what can I do to help? You know, we need you on that school board. So it is real encouraging. One of the, you know, there's a lot of reasons why I'm running. Obviously, I'm, you know, passionate about our kids' education and so bothered by the things that are happening between Common Core and the PARC testing and the textbooks and just the overall indoctrination that's going on with our children. And it's just, I can't allow it to happen on my watch. And one of the things that I've seen that concerns me with the school board here is there is not actually a sitting school board member that has a child in our school system here in Rutherford County. And
really?
I think, yeah, really. And, yeah, kind of shocked me a little bit, too. So I think a parent's voice, certainly at least one, if not more, is necessary, because one of the concerns that we've had throughout this entire textbook and Common Core process that we've been going to and that we continue to go to them and present our concerns is the fact that the parents just almost kind of, you know, how you swat a fly or a gnat off of you, you know, like, go away. Okay, I've seen you, now go away. Very much how parents that come and present their concerns feel like they're treated. And I'm just determined that that's got to change. I think a lot of our elected officials, not just school board, but everywhere else, forget who they're working for and forget it whose privilege they serve. And to me, that's what it's about, is servant leadership, and I think so many of our leaders have forgotten that.
How many people are on the school board there in Rutherford County?
You know, it's really interesting. It is, we've talked about that so much. Rutherford County is, if I'm not mistaken, David, last time I checked, it's like the fourth or fifth largest school district in the state of Tennessee, and we only have 7 school board members. They have, I think, that many or more just on the city school board here, and I've looked at school systems across the state who are much, much smaller than we are that have larger school board numbers. So
I live in Stewart County, and I don't think we have – I think that's probably roughly what we have. I don't know exactly, but I would say we have 6 or 7, and we're talking about a county of, what, I think 13,000, and Rutherford County
right.
has how many?
Oh, well, I mean, there's over – I mean, you know, there's – county of over 250,000 people, and I'm not sure what the numbers are as far as students, but it's huge and it's getting bigger. The school system is growing. There's, matter of fact, I know they put, I learned at one of the board meetings, I think over 1,000 new students enrolled this past year that they had not even anticipated or planned for.
And I wonder how many of them spoke English. That's another issue. But anyway, let me ask you this. You said none of the people on the school board have any kids in school. Are they older? Is the school board primarily older? That they maybe had grandkids in there at one time?
Yeah. There are several gentlemen on the board that I think do have grandkids. I don't know. I've never heard of any of them speak about having grandchildren in the schools here, though. So I think we still got the same issue. And then there's a younger school board member who homeschools his children. And there's another one that I'm not sure about. I don't believe that he actually has any children, or if he does, they're grown. So no, none that actually have kids in the county school system, or the city schools for that matter.
Now, did you, during all this thing with the textbooks and Common Core, did you, I get the impression that there's probably some decent people on the school board. Like many elected officials, they're kind of hurting in the spinal department. But do you have a pretty good working relationship with them overall?
Not nearly as much of one as I would have liked. Dave, we tried. And, it did get fairly adversarial there for a while, which was really disappointing. That certainly was not the way that we ever intended for it to go. But again, you know, when you go and listen to, or your thoughts or concerns are pretty much dismissed. We did reach a point towards the end of all this when it was all culminating in the textbooks being selected by the state and being pushed down on the LEAs. After all, as you know what happened at a state level, of course, they should never have passed them down and put these local school boards in that position to begin with. And, you know, to that, I really did empathize and feel for these guys because it put them in a very, very difficult spot. But you know what? Once again, when you accept and take a position of leadership like that, you're asking for that. And you have to be prepared to be put in those difficult spots and still manage to stand up for what's right. And to me, in this case, it's really simple. You're standing up for what's right for these children and what's right for this country. And if you're not able to do that, you don't need to be there.
Yeah, it's, you know, you're not there just to collect whatever small payment they might make.
Are
there any other like-minded people running as well? Or are you
are. No, there is, and I'm really glad that you asked that. I have a very, very dear friend here in Murfreesboro. His name is Gabriel Fancher. You may know Gabriel. He's very, very active with the Republican Party here in town. Very well known, terrific young man, and he is running for, I believe it is School District 6. So if anyone lives in Gabriel's district, they really, really need to make sure that they vote for him. I think he and I will have the ability, we run pretty much on the same platform, we have the same philosophies, we feel the same way certainly about Common Core and about the textbooks, and we're both very, very conservative, faith-based parents in how we parent our children. And Gabriel and I think could make a big difference on the school board. I mean, 2 out of 7, hey, it's a start, you know?
Yeah, got to start somewhere.
That's
one
right.
One of the worst nightmares that can befall in America today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. And click on the LifeLock banner. You'd be very glad you did. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Phone number 718-305-7176. And we're talking with Lisa Moore. She is running for school board in Rutherford County. Now, the elections are in August 2nd, right?
August the 7th. Tuesday, August 7th.
7th. Mm-hmm. Okay.
and you say that you've got some county, you've got some elections going on right now, some primary for other,
As a matter of fact, I've got the TV on silent watching the results come in because I have some very good friends that are running for offices here in Rutherford County. So this is the primary, of course, and what we've got in several of these races are just two Republican candidates that are competing, that there are no Democrats or independents that are going to run against them. So tonight will be the deciding vote for them. So we had the city elections a couple of weeks ago, so we just decided it was more prudent at this point not to start putting signs out or knocking on doors until we got through these elections and the dust kind of settled from that, because nobody was going to be paying attention to anything else at this point.
Now, do you feel pretty good about your chances in the district that you're running in?
I do. One of the things that kind of caught me by surprise when I made this decision and I pulled out the map and started looking at the district is I've got geographically the largest district out of the entire school zoning system. Now, I'm sure that's because the area where we live, there's a lot of farmland, and I'm sure they go by population. So when you look at the areas of town where some of the other board members are, they're much more densely populated, but we have a huge geographical area. I mean, we've lived here, my husband and I have lived here for 36 years, and we know folks, and I feel like I have some name recognition, but we know that we're going to have to get out and meet people and present our platform to them in order to take a race like this. I do have a couple of strong competitors that I'll be running against, but I'm very confident that we can get it done.
Now, obviously, textbooks are going to be one of your issues in Common Core.
Absolutely.
Anything else that you're going to, I guess, make part of your platform?
You know, I think, you know, Common Core in the textbooks, and then just, you know, fiscal responsibility on the board, too. And, you know, for the most part, our board has done a pretty good job with that. But there's been a lot of spending that's gone on here in Rutherford County that, quite frankly, when you look at dilemmas that are facing us elsewhere, I think money could have been much better spent on things other than some of the really, really fancy school buildings that we've built. I know it's nice to have nice-looking, new, sparkly, shiny schools, but when you're investing so much money in the architecture and the interior of the schools and what it looks like, and you still hear about kids that, you know, the free and reduced lunch number, children that we have in our school system and all of the other needs that strike me as so much more important than what the inside of that building looks like, that I think there's some fiscal responsibility concerns that need to be addressed as well. So probably those three things, obviously, at top of my hit parade.
Yeah, well, that's a full plate right there. Well, hey, we're going to take a short break, and I want to hit a little bit on the cost of schools, the cost of education here in Tennessee when we come back after the break. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we're talking with Lisa Moore from Rutherford County. She's running for school board there this year. Lisa, we're talking about money and you know, how much schools spend. And you mentioned spending a lot of money on a nice building. Kind of struck a nerve here. We recently, in Stewart County, they passed a bond and it included money for the jail, but it also included $700,000, and when it's all said and done, I'm sure it'll be $1 million, for a baseball field by the high school. Now, they've gone all these years. They do have a football field, and the high school is fairly new. I think it went up in 2000 or something like that. And so they spent all this money on this ball field, yet there's been times when word I've gotten is they don't have enough books for certain subjects. It just seems like, you know, I think I've talked to people across the state, different districts, and it's the same thing. And it's almost like the schools have way too much, this whole maintenance of effort deal. Is that, you think that's an issue in your county? Is that something that you'd like to see changed, where the counties automatically get, the school districts automatically get a certain amount, and then once a county government gives them a certain amount, they can never reduce it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not familiar with that really being an issue here in Rutherford County, Dave. I imagine it might be, but I guess I've been so focused on other things that that's an arena that I'm not as familiar with probably as I should be.
Yeah, well, it's just called maintenance of effort, and it may be a little bigger. I'm going to tell you that within Tennessee, I do know there's an issue on money with between the urban schools and the rural schools. And I know parts of Rutherford County are rural, but all of Stewart County is rural, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's always been some concern about that. And, for instance, the maintenance of effort. A lot of times the county commission is, you know, they're hesitant sometimes to give a raise or give money to the school district because once they allot it, if things get hard, they can't say, all right, well, hey, we were able to do it last year, but we can't do it this year.
Right.
It's kind of
right.
Like you're stuck with it from there on out. And I think that's something that needs to be looked at. And I know there seems to be some dissatisfaction talking to some of the legislators that the bigger areas, the urban areas, seem to get a disproportionate share of the state funding as opposed to what the rural counties get.
Yeah, well, I think we've seen some of that here in Rutherford County, too. There's certainly that concern, you know, that's always kind of there and seems to get worse, of course, as the school system grows. And that is, you know, what parents, I think, out in some of the rural areas certainly refer to and look at is kind of elitist schools, you know, that the money's being spent on and that the focus seems to be put on when there is money that's given out in terms of, you know, extra perks like the ball fields and things like that. And I know, for instance, my son, who's in seventh grade at middle school, and he's in a terrific school, and we love it. We love the principal and the teachers. He's been very happy there. But it is one of the real county schools, I guess, if you will. It is a newer school, so it is a very nice school building. They've done a good job. But, for instance, my son plays on the baseball team, and they've literally gone for these first 4 years with nothing but just a field and a backstop. And this year we were fortunate enough to get a coach in there that really brought the parents together and did some serious fundraising, and we got some wonderful things done with the field, but it was all from the efforts of the parents. We didn't go ask the school system for it, you know, and they didn't get it. So, you know, I'm not sure that they would have had it to give, but there's always been that question out there of, you know, are there schools that are getting preferential treatment as far as funding because of their location and perhaps, again, the political clout sometimes of the parents of those school systems or those schools.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, I agree. Your plate is going to be full with Common Core and the textbook issue, which those are the most important because basically we have the left trying to indoctrinate our kids from as early age as possible. And, you know, to have you and at least one more on the Rutherford County School Board would be good. Now, do you think that maybe there's some on that school board in your dealings with them that you and having maybe this other person on there as well, you think maybe you might be able to give them a little courage? You think they that's
a really good question, Dave, because that's something we've talked a lot about, and yes, I do. I mean, there's one that I know of in particular, and maybe a couple that I think really would like to do the right thing or would have liked to have done things differently, but felt like, and it is, it's difficult to be the one, the only one that's willing to step out in the spotlight and say, stop, this is wrong. And I understand that. I mean, I've been there, done that, and been wearing the T-shirt for a couple years now. And so that's my hope, yeah, that there are at least a couple of those board members that with some support and encouragement from like-minded conservatives with the kind of values that we hope to bring to the board that we can make some changes.
Yeah. Well, definitely wish you the best of luck, and I'd like to have
Thank
you back
you.
On as the race gets closer. But before you go, I want to ask you, you were, as the newspaper, and I cannot recall the name of it, I should have a copy here in front of me, that you and Jackie Archer and several other people put together on... Is there a new edition of that?
The Textbook Tattler, yeah. Jackie is very, very hard at work right now putting together a Common Core version of the Textbook Tattler. So that is one thing I'd like to express to your listeners. If there are any parents out there that have specific examples and evidence of Common Core issues, whether they be tests on the questions, papers their kids have brought home that show the indoctrination and the issues, we are looking for examples to use in that paper. So they can contact us, and the email address is just simply textbookadvocates@gmail.com. And, yeah, we're working on a Common Core edition. So Jackie's taking the lead on that. She's doing a fabulous job, and I can't wait to see the first draft. So.
Well, the first edition was really great, and a lot of good information on there. We passed out several here, and of course enjoyed having you come and speak to our tea party. And there were a few teachers that showed up that weren't usually there. But hey, once again, I appreciate you coming on, and glad to have you back. Good luck to you, and
thank you, Dave.
I hope to hear you get on there.
Appreciate that. Thank you for your support.
All right.
Well,
hey, thanks for all you do, and just stick in there and hang with it, and good luck to you. God bless.
Thank you, Dave. You too. Bye-bye.
Take care. Take care. Kurt, how are we doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, Dave, all things considered. I'm going to brag, but I still got it. We closed the polls at 7 o'clock. I did the paperwork, shut everything down, got home, and just finished eating supper, man. I'm cranking.
Okay. Now, you're in Henry County, so you work
yes.
at the polls. And
yeah.
the good news was it was a Democrat primary, and although you're the head of the Republican Party there, it was a Democrat primary that you were working
the
polls.
Yeah, I worked the polls. What the heck, you know.
Yeah. And the good news was turnout was low, right?
Abysmally low as far as I'm concerned. My home precinct, and I don't remember the numbers exactly, but in 2012 presidential election, we voted somewhere in the neighborhood of 600 people, and it's a small precinct. We voted about 120 people in the precinct today.
Wow. Hey, well, even the Democrats are disgusted with their party, apparently.
Yeah,
that's a good sign.
Yeah. Dr. Smith says it's a good thing, okay? Our listeners
yeah,
don't know who Dr. Smith is, but you and I do.
Yeah. Well, glad to hear it. Glad to hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know how much if you caught any of the conversation, but Lisa Moore from Rutherford County, who was very involved with
I remember Lisa from the textbook hearings in Nashville. She and the rest of that crowd did a superb job. Of course, the fight's not over.
I'll be lining it up against next year. At least we were able to delay the park. And, of course, now I guess they're going to be fired up because they just got this contract. So they're not going away. We had some changes on our school board over here. We've got a new – come July, we'll have a new director of school. So hopefully that will maybe improve the situation for us a little bit. But a lot of fighting left to do. They're trying to indoctrinate our kids or grandkids, and – we just can't sit back and let it happen. We have to fight back, and just can't rely. You can't just elect people and expect that they're going to do the right thing, because you know what? Way too often, they don't know what the right thing is. They just kind of go with the flow. And a good thing about people like Lisa is, number one, they know what right is, and they're willing to do it. And, you know, I'll tell you what, over the last 5 years here, I've met a lot of great people involved with Tea Party and other liberty-minded groups. So we do have some fighters in this state, and thank God for that. Well,
Dave, I want to tell you a true story. You got a minute?
Got about a couple of seconds, but I got some time right after.
Whenever you've got time, you'll like this little story, okay?
Well, hey, I got plenty of time right after the break. We're up against a hard break.
Okay.
So right after the break,
go for it.
All right, you're listening Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
From the Talk Radio News Service, I'm Keely Sullivan. The Internal Revenue Service adopted the Taxpayer Bill of Rights with the hopes that it will become a fundamental document for taxpayer rights. The Bill of Rights takes established rights and groups them into 10 general categories in order to make them more visible and clear for taxpayers. Radio Shack suffered an unexpected quarterly loss, with shares down 21% in pre-market trading. The company has lost $98.3 million and revenue fell 13% to $736.7 million in comparison to last year. Consumer rights advocacy group Public Citizen is aiming to file a First Amendment lawsuit against the Ready for Hillary Super PAC if it does not drop its demand to remove Public Citizen merchandise that parodies merchandise sold on the Ready for Hillary website. The items replace the slogan, I'm ready for Hillary, with I'm ready for oligarchy. Keely Sullivan, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcsforautomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your day.
Okay, you said you had a little story to tell us?
An interesting thing happened to me, and it's one of a series of things that there's too many of them to be coincidence or whatever. You'll understand it when I tell you. Last Saturday, I think it was, I took about a 20-minute ride over into the next county. I'm not going to call names or even name the town, but I drove over there specifically to eat at this new restaurant I've discovered. And when the place was really crowded, they had a kind of a party going on there. There was hardly any place to sit, and a young fellow sitting at the table right by the door there looked up at me, and he said, it's kind of crowded in here. He said, if I don't smell too bad, you can sit out here with me if you want to. And he proceeded to explain to me that he'd been driving a Traco all day, and it probably smelled like diesel, et cetera, et cetera. I said, no problem, man. And I sat down across the table from him, and we did introductions. And I don't remember what popped out of which one of us' mouth that opened the floodgate on it, but in no time flat, we were talking politics. And I told him my track record over here, what I've been doing for the last 5 years, and he was very interested. Well, small world department, turns out he's friends with a bunch of people I know from that town. I'd never met this guy before in my life. He's a total stranger to me, but he knows a bunch of the same people I know. A lot of them active, you know, Republican people over there. At some point in time, I told him that I had run for and got elected as chairman of the Henry County Republican Party over here, and he said, I don't remember exactly what he said. He said, and then he said, you know, he said, I don't mean to hurt your feelings, man, but he said, I'm just about as ticked off at the Republican Party as I am the Democrats. Well, you can imagine what that started. And he and I talked at length, and one thing led to another, and I said, well, you know, funny you mentioned that, because he mentioned a specific scenario. I said, funny you mentioned that. I said, because in several counties in Tennessee, and I named two counties, Stuart and Gibson, I said, two very good friends of mine have gone Constitution Party, and I said, I think you're going to see more of that start happening. And he's sitting there across the table, looked at me, and he said, let me know when it does. I'm ready.
Wow.
Just like that, man. Just out of the clear blue sky. And this guy, he's a smart guy. He told me, he said, I'm a simple-minded person. I said, no, you're not simple-minded. You're logical. And it is a true statement just based on the things that he said. But I don't know how many times that has happened to me in the past month. You mention that scenario to people, and they're ready. They are ready to do something. I knew you'd like that little story. True story happened last Saturday, okay?
Well, we'll get offline, and I might get the name and number. So
I'll be glad to give it to you.
Yeah. Well, and I think people are disgusted. We, you know, anybody who's followed politics at all and has any grounding in the Constitution, in my opinion, any patriotism at all, knows that the Democratic Party is our enemy. Unfortunately, the Republican Party that's supposed to defend what we believe, they've proven themselves to be unreliable. There's way too few Tennessee Republican assembly types. There's way too many Tennessee GOP types. So there's definitely a vacuum out there to be filled. So we will see how things go.
I heard most of what Sharon had to say a while ago, and so I was going right down the same path.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know, I may be repeating myself here because we had the little sound issue there a second ago, but I was talking about how important it is to, you know, like I say, for a long time, focus just on the federal level. About 4 or 5 years ago, once we got involved with this, we started focusing, still focused federal, but we started focusing state. And now many of us, you know, we see the state as the only way of standing up to the federal government is get your state to do it for you, which is a challenge here in Tennessee, since we have Bill Haslam, who may as well be, he may as well be for all practical purposes an Obama appointee. I mean, that's kind of the way I see the guy.
Really?
And yeah, I mean, that's sad, but that's kind of how I see him. And but I think it's still important that you got to get your state to stand up, and that so many things that come down from the federal government, it takes your county's cooperation. And way too many times it's something that it's either a federal grant or some other federal program. Dollars are dangled, and, of course, there's strings attached, and the county governments, they don't care, way too many of them. And so we've really got to watch all three. But I think right now we would be better off to focus more efforts on our state and local, and in a matter of education too. You know, we have found out going up to Nashville that although we do in Tennessee, we have some really intelligent legislators and legislators that are dedicated to fulfilling their oath to the Constitution and actually care about limited government and freedom and liberty and everything. We have way too many that are there for the wrong reason and don't know and don't care to know. Well, it's the same thing at the local level. So we've got to get involved. We've got to have good people on our school board, and we've got to have good people on our county commission. And we just have to hold them accountable at all levels. That's the only way to do it. So it's challenging. It's a challenge to the mindset, because a lot of times people, you know, they just don't think about the county government. They don't even think about the state. And, you know, here's the problem, too. When you focus everything just on the federal, you allow your state to play the game of, well, there's nothing we can do about it. That's coming from the federal level. Well, if you want them to stand up for the 10th Amendment, you got to force them to stand up for the 10th Amendment. Most of them are not rushing out to do that. And so you have to make it politically more dangerous for them, I'm talking politically here, not to stand up for the 10th than it is for them to ignore you. They cannot ignore you. You can't let them get by with it. They have to be more afraid of you politically than they are of D.C. And that's a challenge, but that's something we have to do. Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman Duke Brooks calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so. Since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA, his parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Call in if you have a question or a comment. We'll have Jason Henry with us here in just a few minutes. He's a candidate for the county commission in Wilson County, and we'll pick his brain and see. Matter of fact, there he is. He just popped up. So we're going to go, I tell you what, we're going to go ahead and get Jason on the line here. We may have to take a break here in a little bit, but we'll hold off on that. Jason, how are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you, sir?
Doing fine. Appreciate you being with us.
I appreciate being here.
And you're running for county commission in Wilson County. And could you tell us a little bit about yourself, give us some of your background?
Sure. I'm originally from Buffalo, New York. I moved out to Tennessee coming through Las Vegas. Wanted to find a place where my wife and I could raise our kids as we started to have a family in a better environment than Las Vegas. And by trade, I'm a physician assistant. I work at Summit Medical Center in the emergency department. I've been there for the last 8 years. And before that, I worked in the trauma center in Las Vegas. I'm also a veteran. I've served 14 years so far. I'm 10 years enlisted as a Navy corpsman and 4 years as an officer in the Tennessee Army National Guard. That's a little background about myself to give it to you briefly.
Okay. Yeah. Now, what made you want to run for county commission in Wilson County?
Well, I had a few people asking me about running for county commissioner, and prior to that, I've spoke to. I'm constantly complaining about politics, but I never really stepped up to do anything about it. And then when this opportunity came up, and more than one person started asking me about running for county commissioner, I was talking it over with my wife, and she said, I guess it's time to put your money where your mouth is and step up. I've always been one about service. It's one of the reasons I went into the military. So I just see this more as an extension of a way that I can continue to serve my community. So I thought this would be a good stepping stone into for I don't like to say politics, but I would probably say more of a statesman than a politician, because I don't have any experience as a politician. But I certainly am willing to help my neighbor.
Well, what are some of the big issues there in Wilson County?
well, we have, you know, we have a few. You know, I would say that some of the things that that I'm noticing that I'd like, you know, to address are things like county employees being county commissioners. I just think that there's a conflict of interest there, and
I thought
I'm not really sure.
Legislation on that this year. Didn't they pass legislation this year on that?
No, sir. We still have Wilson County didn't. Wilson
no,
County
no.
Said,
I thought the state. I thought there's somebody in the state that proposed that.
The city of Mount Juliet does not allow city employees to run on the city commission in Mount Juliet or in Lebanon, but the county still does.
No, but I thought that there was legislation proposed this year at the state level that would prevent county employees. Maybe that law didn't get passed. I can't remember.
I don't believe
sponsored.
It was passed then, because there's certainly county employees running for re-election for
okay.
This election cycle in Wilson County.
Yeah.
So I believe that, you know, that's a, you know, I think anybody with you know, some common sense can see that there's a conflict of interest that can arise from that. You know, if you're voting on your own budget or your raises,
yeah,
you know, there's this conflict of interest there. You know, and I've heard the argument that well, county employees know the county better, and I would disagree with that. I think they might know some of the intricacies behind their particular job in the county, but I'm not sure that that makes them more connected to the county.
Yeah. Well, Jason, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll come back and we'll talk some more about some of the issues going on in Wilson County and why you want to be a commissioner. And don't go away. We'll be right back after a short break.
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Molon LeBay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we've got Jason Henry on the line. He's running for county commission in Wilson County. And, Jason, we've got a caller on the line here. I think I know this number. I think you might know this person, too. So we're going to go ahead and bring him in here.
Okay.
Bill, how you doing tonight?
Hey, David. I'm David. I'm sorry. But yeah, David, my brain is still a little fried. I was listening to Jason about that the county commission bill. Thought I'd say shed some light on it. Feeling a little better now, anyway. Kind of helped my guys here get. We've got to change the guard here in these county governments in general. I do have an editorial out where today I just posted where. To bring awareness, this is the farm system for our entire government. Now, from here to Washington, D.C., it starts right at the county level. And Jason contacted me and bright young guy. I'm going to let him go back and tell people about his qualifications. But I wanted to clear up that ambiguity about the County Commission bill. This is why we need people like Jason and others to get involved at the county level. That bill was squashed, and they took all the meat off the bone. And by the time it got to the floor, it was worthless, so we didn't pursue it. But essentially, they just gutted it. And as you know, that's what happens with so much legislation. And you were talking to Sharon, another good friend of mine. We do keep good company, don't we? And, these are true patriots. And this is why we need people to see the level of government. But that's what happened with that bill. I'm going to let Jason back on. I won't steal his thunder. But they squashed it, and we were trying to do away with the nepotism and the personal conflict, because everybody that works for the county that's on a county commissioner is in conflict, and they're the ones writing the budget, and they're the ones making the law. So that being said, God bless you. Jason, get on, break a leg.
Thank
you,
Dave.
For the hard work you do, we really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Bill, for all you do. Thanks for clarifying that. I was wondering what I knew that bill was out there, and I wasn't tracking that it was squashed, but I guess I should have known that the good old boys cover for each other at all levels.
Yeah, David, so. It's still out there, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bill. So, Jason, I mean, now that's probably something that you could still do a county resolution on that, couldn't you?
I believe so. You know, And I think that I'm not sure that people are all that involved in their local government, not as much as they should be. You know, and including myself to a point, up until recently, started researching more of the local government, and this is where everything starts. You know, the county commissioner, is a place that. I'm the only person in a political. I would be the only person in a political position that you can actually contact directly. You know, anybody else in government, you can't contact directly, but as a county commissioner, you can. And you know, I think that's important because I think that one, it helps you remain accountable to your constituents, and I think that you know you have a lot of the current county commissioners have too much job security. There's really not any competition. Like you said, it's a kind of a good old boy club. And I'm big on we shouldn't have multiple terms. these are 4-year terms, and personally, I don't think anybody probably should do it more than two terms because then you start to become a person that has a dog in the hunt for something else as opposed to being there for the people.
And I don't know if you could do this at a county level or not. I don't know. At a county level, could you propose term limits? Is that something you would look at doing?
I'm sure you could propose it. from what I've watched, things like you can propose just about anything. I'm not sure where it would go from there, but it would be something that I would encourage. You know, I think that having new people and fresh ideas is the key to a good government. We're not staying focused in one box and walking down the same path. You know, we're all created individually with different ideas and different skill sets and different ways of figuring things out, and you know there's some things that need to change, and bringing in new and fresh people will help with that.
Well, I agree, and now the other thing too, and I was talking about this earlier, how important it is because you know talking to Lisa earlier. And to other people I've talked to with their situation, their county governments, and, of course, what I know about the county government here, we've got little D.C.s all over Tennessee, and I'm sure every other state has a little D.C. in every county pretty much. And, you know, they're the ones who, you know, they will complain, just like at our state level. We hear our state legislators talk about how bad D.C. is and how, you know, how irresponsible they are. And, of course, our legislators like to brag about how fiscally responsible they are, but what is it, something like 40% of our revenue comes from the federal government here in Tennessee. Right. Well, you know, our county governments are signing us on for a lot of that. You know, this grant, that grant, this program, that. So, you know, that's pretty sad. And we got to fight. We've got to fight. The fight for D.C. starts right against D.C. starts right in your county.
Absolutely. And, you know, the county commissioners are the people that make the decisions that affect us directly. And, yeah. You know, people wonder why we have bad laws, but yet they don't get involved. And people ask questions after it's too late. So we really do need more people to watch the local races first and not last and not say, you know, not pay attention to who's running and the things that they stand for, because it really does start here. And then that breeds into, you know, the state level and then into the federal level. You know, it's but it all really does start in your home area. And, you know, I just don't think that people are involved enough. And most people, you know, I can tell you that I've walked, you know, a couple of hundred doors already campaigning, and probably 70-75% don't even know what a county commissioner does. And you know, I think that falls on – well, one, it falls on all of us as far as not paying attention to what type of, you know, offices are in our local communities. But, you know, for me, I've been trying to educate people on why, you know, what is a county commissioner and what do you do, and the importance of realizing who's in that office.
Yeah. What are some of the other things that you would like to do as a county commissioner, or that you'd either like to do or that you would like to stop?
Well, you know, I'm calling it my PACT, P-A-C-T, and prosperity, number one, is working with a common shared vision in a cooperative effort with the three cities that make up you know, Wilson County, so that we can maximize the county's potential for its growth and development. Some accountability, I would honestly consider some type of recall provision for commissioners. There needs to be some type of mechanism in place where the government's forced to be accountable to the people. And then clarity, a clear direction for the county. What you know, as a commissioner, I would also argue that you're a counselor to the mayor to help them come up with a clear vision or direction for your county based on your district, and then transparency. I'd like to see the county commission meetings in Wilson County have some type of video recording or some live streamed, you know, internet feed that people could log into and actually watch the commissioners at work and see the topics firsthand. And I would also like to see.
That's a great idea. I like that. That last one is really a great idea.
You know, I'd like
they
to,
do it at the
I'd
state
like,
level.
They do it at the state level. You're right. And some other counties do it. Just you know, Wilson County doesn't, and at least not yet. you know, and I'd like to see meetings be number one, accurate and posted to the website, you know, in some type of timely fashion, and that, you know, any documents or forms that are going before committees, whether it's for bids for jobs within the county, or, you know, or anything like that, any type of documents that's going to be submitted to the county commissioners or a committee of the commissioners, be posted online in advance, so that people have a chance to review it, so that they can ask intelligent questions to their commissioners.
I'm going to have to step in here. We're up against a hard break at the 8:30 break. Short break. When we come back, you had some great ideas, by the way. When we come back, we have a caller on the line. We'll take that call if you're okay with that. I don't know who it is, but we'll find that out, and we'll take it from there.
Thank you very much.
All right. Don't go away. We'll be right back on Inside Tennessee.
Hello, this is Robin Zander.
Hello, this is Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick for Rad.
Some people think it's fun to drive drunk, but that's unacceptable.
Be smart. If you drink,
don't drive.
Think ahead and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Michael Behrman, inviting you to join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, on The Michael Behrman Show.
Hit them!
Right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we're talking with Jason Henry. He's a candidate for Wilson County Commission. And, Jason, we have a caller. Caller, you had a comment or a question for Jason?
Yes, I had a comment. I was calling because I work with him. This is Lacey Johnson. And I just wanted to say that he would make a great county commissioner because just seeing him work, he always makes the right decisions. He's got strong character. He's been through a lot of things in life that I think he would prepare him to make a great county commissioner. He listens to people, he's open for suggestions, and he's a hard worker, and he's not afraid to make tough decisions and to do what's right, even if it goes against the grain of what other people may say. So,
thank you, Lacey.
Appreciate you calling in. That's exactly what you need as a county commissioner or any elected official for that matter. All right. Well, we've got a couple other calls here, and I'm not too sure about these. We'll take them real quick, and hopefully there's no issues here.
Okay.
Caller, you have a question or a comment?
Oh, it's still me.
No,
it's still me.
I've got another caller here. Caller, you have a question or a comment?
Yes, sir. Am I on?
Yes.
Okay, hi. My name is Jonathan Lowe. I actually was just calling to give a little talk to Jason Henry. I served with Jason in Afghanistan. I was his senior medic, and he was my PA, and I was just wanting to say a few things about him. He's a hard worker. He's dedicated. I've never met a man who's more honest or outgoing than he is. He always, with us, made the right choice, no matter how difficult it was or whether he stood to benefit anything. He always did the right thing, and he's a strong man of faith, got good morals, hard worker, honest, and I think he'd make a great county commissioner.
Thanks, John. I appreciate
it. No problem.
Sounds like he would. Okay. You know, that means a lot from coming from somebody that you served with.
Absolutely.
You know, especially in a combat zone. That means a lot. Hey, thank you for the call.
No problem.
All right, and we've got somebody else here. Caller, you have a comment or a question?
Hello?
Yeah, you have a comment or a question?
Yes. My name is Mark Ralzik. I've known Jason for about 25 years. Family friend, wonderful guy. There's so much you could possibly say about him. Just one of those great guys that would do very good, listens to people, wants to do better by the people that he will serve in the county. I'm so ecstatic that he's taking on this role of wanting to become county commissioner. I think it's a fantastic idea. Strong in faith, strong, hardworking guy. you know, believes in the people around him, wants to make people better. Good guy.
Well, great. Okay.
Thanks, Mark.
Well, you've got a few supporters out there.
Yeah, that's nice to hear.
All right, we've got one more if I can get him to pull up here. Having a little bit of trouble with him. Let me see if I can move this thing around a little bit. Looks like we've got another caller there. Yeah, okay, here they are. Let's see. There we go. Caller, you have a question or a comment? Hello, caller, do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, hello.
Hello, you're live.
Hi, I'm calling in for Jason Henry. I have went to church with him probably for about 8 years now, and I think he would do a wonderful job as county commissioner. He has not only fought for our country overseas, and now he wants to do it on a whole new level, and I support him greatly. I think he will do a marvelous job.
Well,
thank you.
I'm sure he will. And thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Well, Jason, you have, and I'm going to assume your wife as well, and Bill, you have at least six supporters in Wilson County at a minimum, right?
The good start, right?
Hey, that's a good start. Well, I've heard good things about you, you know, no doubt about it, and, you know, your background. From what I understand, and, you know, I was in the Army, and medics, I don't think medics, I mean, you know, you definitely rely on them, but I've always heard about the relationship between, you know, the Marines and the Navy corpsmen. And that's, you know, there's a pretty, I can kind of relate to that because, hey, you know, we have to rely on our medics, too, in the Army. But I think maybe a little more storied sometimes with the, as far as the history between the Marines and the Navy corpsmen. So you... I know they rely on you guys a lot, and of course you're a PA. You've interacted with a lot of different people, and a lot of good experience there. And it's, you know, hats off that you want to serve in another way. What are some of the other things fiscally? I know every county. I mean, I could sit here and talk about things going on in my county, money that I feel is wasted. I think everybody has some complaints about the cost of education. And, you know, for what we're spending in education, we should be producing little Einsteins. That's not what we're getting, generally speaking. But what are some of your thoughts in terms of fiscal issues in Wilson County?
Well, I think that, you know, I think that, number one, we just, I think, honestly, we overspend in certain areas, and I don't think that we appropriate the money in what I believe to be more proper places, you know, such as, you know, I'm for a smaller government. I would say that, you know, taxes and money that's generated by the county should go towards things like our EMS, you know, and our sheriffs and our firefighters. And I think that education as well, but I agree with the caller you had, the person you had on earlier from Rutherford County, that you know, we don't need big fancy buildings. You know, people need an education. Education is the key to everything. Education is what is the key to power. You know what I mean? People who are educated are empowered, and I think by not teaching you know, our children the right things, you know, we're taking the power away from them. I would say that, you know, some of the, you know, in my particular district, you know, one of the things that I've, that I'm fighting against with, my opponent is, expo center. You know, it's projected to cost the county $9 million.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
For an expo center.
For
something you don't have to have.
Exactly. And you know, the thing is the city of Lebanon is also trying to build a similar style center, which would actually be bigger, but, you know, that would go on to the city of Lebanon's constituents. And this, you know, the Expo Center, I think, I think it's a nice idea, but I don't think that it's the right idea for us. I think that it will only benefit a very small population of the county. And I'm not sure that all of the county should be responsible for it. In particular, he had tried to raise hotel-motel taxes initially by 3%, which would have put the city of Mount Juliet, where I live, I don't live in the city, but in Mount Juliet, would have put us at the highest in the entire nation for hotels. And I'm not sure that we would have enough activity at the Expo Center to fill the hotels, because people would just drive to, just a few more miles down the road and be in an area that has a cheaper motels. And I just don't think it does the local business people in our area justice. I don't think it's going to generate money into our economy by doing it. They may bring in a couple of shows, but I'm not sure that they'll be able to sustain it, and eventually the taxpayer will end up paying for it. They don't have a plan to pay for and sustain this this Expo Center. And so, I think $8 or $9 million, that's a lot of money. And, I think that right now I'd like to see it personally go more towards our EMS system, either in some more substation or actually to help our paramedics. Being in emergency medicine, I deal with paramedics from multiple counties on a daily basis. And the thing I notice a lot, especially from Wilson County, is that we have some really talented medics, and we lose them to Davidson County for pay and benefits because we're some of the lowest paid medics. And our response times are getting longer because, the county's growing, and it's spreading out.
Yeah.
And we don't have enough substations to keep these guys at a low response time. And I can tell you, that does benefit people's outcomes when it comes to trauma or true life-threatening medical emergencies. I mean, that golden hour is for real.
Time is lives on the line.
That's right.
Got to read this real quick. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design. Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. And we're talking with Jason Henry. He's a candidate for the Wilson County Commission. And now, so you're running against an incumbent who wants to raise... Now, how does he propose to raise, just by putting a hotel tax? Was that the only funding source for this $9 million Expo Center?
As of right now that I've learned of, yes. And that actually, the numbers only suggest that would only generate $150,000 of revenue, which obviously is not enough to pay for this. So one of the other things that they proposed was to add a dollar tax or fee towards the Wilson County Fair. The fair will cost an extra dollar, and the county will get that, will receive that dollar from the attendance. I'm not sure that a lot of people know that, but the county doesn't receive money from the Wilson County Fair, not from the fair directly. We actually spend close to $600,000 a year on the fair. That's a nonprofit that runs it.
Wow.
That comes out of our general fund, and I'm not sure that, if the county's not receiving the monies generated during Wilson County Fair and it's going to a nonprofit organization, why the county should actually being be using money out of its general fund to support it.
Yeah, that's that doesn't sound like that. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, you would think that they would get something out of it, not fund a nonprofit. I know that our county, and I'd imagine every county, gives a certain amount of money every year to some different nonprofits.
Sure. Well, there's a list of them that we give them to, but that one receives.
That's in addition to it. Yeah, and then that's like you say, it's the Wilson County Fair because Wilson County pays for it, I guess, and it's held in Wilson County.
Right.
But you're not making anything off of it. The county's not making anything at all.
No.
You think they would make something?
A dollar added to it that money is supposed to be designated then towards this expo center.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, are there some other things that you would like to, if you're elected, that you'd like to work on with inside the county? Some things you'd like to change or some things you'd like to stop?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that I have any, as a commissioner, have any say over the school curriculum, you know, but I would say that, just as a person who lives in Wilson County and who has three boys in the public school system, I'm adamantly against the Common Core process. I just don't think that. I just don't think that this is what we need. We're trying to change something that has no. At least I haven't seen any research-based evidence for it. I haven't seen any type of data collection or student tracking of how well they've progressed since using Common Core versus. The curriculum that we all grew up with, I think that it's going to, go ahead.
You mentioned that we grew up with. Now, we were talking earlier today, and you said something that I thought you made a really good point, and it was in reference to Common Core and specifically the math. And, let's kind of go back over that. Your child brought home some crazy,
sure.
Should have been a simple ask. Go ahead.
So my fourth grader and I were working on homework, and it was a simple multiplication type problem. And so I was trying to show him how to do it, and he's like, "Well, you're not doing it right." I said, "What do you mean I'm not doing this right? I mean, I know how to multiply." And he said, "No, that's not how our teacher had us do it." And he tried to show me this scheme of coming up with this answer, and I was like, "You got to be kidding me," I wrote, my wife and I wrote a note, said, we're not trying to offend anybody, but, that's not how we're going to teach them to do that. I mean, that, number one, is a very long process, and very confusing, and, math is math. I mean, it's a truth, And certainly, I'm sure there's other ways to get to an answer, but in today's day and age, we shouldn't be trying to change something that has been so fundamental to this country that, we're able to put people on the moon that work at NASA that use math equations, and they don't have to use Common Core. they were able to think outside the box.
Right. we've done a lot without Common Core. We've accomplished quite a bit without Common Core.
Right. I mean, our education system, We went through the Industrial Revolution. this country has created so many things for the world, and that's what's made us such a great country is really our education system. And now we're trying to change it to something that's untested, and I'm not sure that the counties need to be buying into this federal program. And who's reviewing the textbooks? Who's writing the textbooks? And why does the county need to take money from the federal government? Why is the federal government, first of all, even involved in our local education? So there's a lot on Common Core. I'm sure there's a lot of people that know more about it than I do. But from what I'm experiencing in my own kids' lives right now, I just know that that's something that, I've actually talked to my wife about. Well, we may consider doing homeschooling because these they're taking away fiction you know, everything's just going to be history-based. There's no creativity, and everything's just concrete. There's no abstract. These kids don't learn.
Well and how slanted will the history be as well? I imagine the history is going to
be
fairly slanted.
Absolutely.
Not that it isn't
absolutely.
Already.
Right, right. Well, and I think that's why it's important that, you know, you're involved in you know, in your local politics and in your, you know, in your state and national politics, because, you know, we are living history, and the only way to pass it on to your kids is, you know, they can read it out of a book, but, you know, my kids are going to learn so much more about 9/11 from me than they will out of a book. You
right,
know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's our job to pass on history, you know.
Yeah.
And learn from it.
Well, let me, matter of fact, I need to make sure, I don't know if you caught the conversation with Lisa earlier, where the textbook tattlers are now working on a Common Core version, and they're wanting to hear from parents who have had experiences like what you're describing. So I need to make sure I get you linked up with Lisa. Do you happen to know Lisa from Rutherford County?
No, I don't know.
Okay, well, we'll get you in touch so you can tell her your story, because that's one of the things that they're going to want to put in the next edition of the textbook Tattler, the Common Core version. So I think we definitely need to look at doing that.
Absolutely.
Well, what kind of response have you got? I know it's early on, but you've thrown your hat in a ring, and obviously, like I say, you've got at least a handful of supporters. But you know, what kind of response have you gotten?
You know, I think for the most part, it's been pretty positive. The district that I'm in is a very conservative district. Although my opponent, he's a Democrat, and he's been there for 8 years, and I'm not sure people know that, because the county commission is a nonpartisan race, and you know, I'm not touting a party over another party. I'm just saying that the beliefs are different, and the structure is different, and you know, I'm about the people, and instead of taking from the people, I'm about giving to the people. The one thing I was always taught from, you know, from my parents, and including to the people that I learned from in my military career, is that a leader strives to see the people that they work for excel higher than them, you know, beyond, because then you've done a good job, you know. So I'm not in this for myself. I want to see the future of Wilson County excel past what I could ever do. You know what I mean? And that's
what would you like to see happen in Wilson County? I mean, you seem to have some sort of vision. What's your vision for Wilson County?
Yeah, I think Wilson. The thing that, you know, drew me to Wilson County is that it's rural and that it's a small community, but yet, you know, it's a very friendly community. But it has so much. It's really a beautiful place between two lakes. You know, I really just think that I'd like to see it grow a little bit more. I'd like to see some newer type commerce come in here instead of the same old, same old. I'd like to see the young professionals here and allow them to, you know, appreciate what's here, but at the same sense, let us embrace, you know, what Wilson County brought up, you know, as far as its agriculture and it's a country, you know. I like that small effect. So, you know, I'd just like to see a county that uses its potential. You know, I don't have a great vision for it. I just know that we are not working at our potential. And you know, as a person that, you know, in medicine and in the military, I always try to get people to work to their potential or past it. I just want to see the county do the same. I think it has a lot of a lot to offer to people, and I think that we're losing out to some other areas because of it.
Yeah. Well, what now? Have you? Are you already campaigning hard, or are you just now getting started, kind of getting your feet wet?
Well, you know, I've learned from a couple of people. I spoke with Senator Mae Beavers, and she probably gave me some of the best advice. As she said, you know, you don't need to spend a ton of money on a campaign, and you just go out there and meet the people. So, you know, I took her advice, and the next day I was off. I've been, every time I have a day off, I go and knock on doors in different neighborhoods, and I just have a black and white piece of paper that has my name. I say, listen, you know, I'm frugal with my money. I'm going to be frugal with yours. I don't have a big fancy campaign, but I've been knocking doors and meeting people, and I think it's worked out well so far. A lot of people, you know, ask questions and ask some of the areas that I, you know, my beliefs, and you know, am I an NRA member? Am I for concealed handgun carrying? I am both. And you know, am I a Christian? And I say yes. And, you know, like I said, there's a lot of conservatives here, so they're like, hey, you got my vote. You know, so right. I tell them I'm new. You know, I'm new, and I don't have a political background, but I say I don't see that as a weakness. I see that as a strength at this point, because I think that I can bring some fresh ideas.
How long have you been in Wilson County?
Since 2006.
Okay, well, you got a few years here anyway.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, we've only got a few minutes left. Is there any, you know, a website or any events that you've got coming up that you want to tell anybody about?
You know what? I don't have any events. Those are, I'm kind of still going through the whole I don't know what I don't know yet, and I'm learning about putting together an event. I don't have an event. I do have a Facebook page, I think, like everybody does. and I do have an email. It's just WilsonCountyCommission@yahoo.com. You know, I tell people, I give them my contact information when I knock their doors, and I say, listen, you know, the only way that I can be a good representative is to know what the issues are that bother you, and I really do want to know them. You know, when I do talk to people, I've got a list of questions that people have asked me, and concerns. Some of them can be handled on the county level, and some of them aren't, but I said that I can get those to the people that are, you know, that do make those type of decisions.
Let me ask you this. At the county level, what are some reoccurring themes that you're hearing from your door knockings?
Honestly, is the tax issue is always a thing. You know, the last three times that Wilson County's went up for a tax increase, they've voted in favor of it, and you know, people are not happy about that. You know, in some of the subdivisions, there's a lot of people that are upset about solicitation for profit, and you know, I can understand that.
Yeah.
You know, and certainly, you know, roads, and you know, because there is, it is rural, there's a lot of road issues, and you know, I explained to them that, you know, the county commission does take care of it. They do have a road committee, you know,
Well, Jason, we're up against the clock here. We're just about out of time, but I want to thank you for coming on. I wish you the best of luck, and we'll definitely have you back on, and you know, good luck to you. And thanks again
I appreciate you. If you don't mind me just saying, let me say Happy Nurses Day to all my nurses out there, and you know, thank you to all the veterans. Appreciate you guys.
Well, hey, thank you for your service as well. Take care, and we will talk to you later. That's all for this week, folks. Join us next week, same time, same place. This is Dave Vance signing off for Inside Tennessee.